thought it'd be a good idea for us to sort of revisit this briefly and to be reminded of the importance of forgiveness as an ongoing process that we actualize in our lives. Now, in the last few weeks, I've talked a lot about how our reality is sort of determined by the story that we're telling ourselves. We tell ourselves a story about what's happening, and then if the story we're telling ourselves is a good story, yes, this is a wonderful experience, these are nice people, then we feel good. And if the story we tell ourselves is negative or bad, like I'm being victimized, and look at what these people are doing to me, and look at the circumstances and events around, and then we feel victimized, the story we tell ourselves determines or makes us feel bad. So we have a good experience or a bad experience every single day based on the story we tell ourselves. And the story we tell ourselves is something that we just keep making up. It's relative to wherever we're standing. You see, it isn't an absolute. It's just based on our perception, our perspective. So the most useful thing we can do in using this metaphor of the story or this idea of telling ourselves a story, the most useful thing we can do is to start re-editing our story in the context of having an open heart, of being forgiving, of stopping telling ourselves stories about how we are victims of the world and of the people around us, you see. And what happens is whenever we feel resentment, whenever we feel anger, whenever we feel like we should, you know, those people deserve their comeuppance, we should do something about this, we should get them. See, when we live in this emotional state, then guess who suffers? Does the person that we're venting at, the person we're angry, the person we're resentful about, do they suffer? I wrote a couple of quotations down here. Larry James says, "To not forgive them is like taking the poison and expecting them to die." We keep taking the poison, right? We live in the upset. It's a very real, visceral experience. It's so real, in fact, that studies, many, many studies now, have directly linked the lack of forgiveness with physical problems. That when we hold this anger and we hold this resentment, when we hold these conditions inside of us, that they have to end up settling somewhere. They have to end up manifesting somewhere. And so they manifest as physical problems. I mean, the first place they manifest, we know, as emotional problems. We get upset, right? We rant and rave, or we get our feelings hurt. But those emotions eventually, if they're not dealt with, if they're not neutralized somehow, eventually they come to seat, they come to rest in our body, in one of our organs, one of our tissues, and we suffer. And we know this is true because studies have been done now where accessing processes of forgiveness have shown wonderful, amazing remissions of chronic disease processes. You know, we can look at the science, we can look at the studies, even if we don't just believe the words, look at the studies, look at the science, and see that this is working, and then ask yourself, what is it that I'm carrying around? What kind of a time bomb do I have in my own consciousness that's just waiting to manifest and create more problems? What's the poison that I keep taking every day, you see? What's the resentment? What's the anger? What's the place where I have not forgiven? Now, we think there are some common mistakes that we make when we start thinking about forgiveness. And one of them is that somehow somebody has to ask us for forgiveness before we can give it. They have to acknowledge that they've done something wrong, and would we please forgive them for doing that, whatever that wrong thing was. And then the books are balanced and everything's cool. So we have to sit around and wait for them to please beg us for forgiveness. And then we can be oh so gracious and finally find it in our heart to be forgiving. And it doesn't work that way, does it? No, it doesn't work that way because most of the time, the thing that we think that needs to be forgiven, the other person doesn't even think that they did anything wrong in the first place. They didn't do something to us because they wanted to get us and wanted us to suffer and wanted to make difficult for us. Whatever they did came out of the story they were telling themselves. It's about them. It's not about us. We just happened to be, the random passerby that was the target of whatever this assault was. We just happened to be convenient. We happened to be in the neighborhood. You say, oh, well, somebody stole something from me. They took my stuff, you know. Well, the reason they took your stuff was because they felt a lack. They felt a need. They were in a consciousness, in a place where they weren't open to the possibility of acquiring whatever they needed by right of consciousness. And so they were already victimized. You see, their crime against you came from their own self-limitation. It's not about you, it's about them. Oh, well, they said terrible things about me. They assassinated my character. They said I did all these things. And it's just not true. That's not the way it went. That's not how the story was. Well, for them it was. From their perspective, from their limited point of view, people are always doing the best they can. And part of the best they can is looking at what it takes to survive and what it takes to meet their needs and what it takes to make their story complete. And their story doesn't line up with your story all the time, see? So we have conditions. These things happen, and we take it personally, right? Now, that listen to that. We take it. We accept it. We take it personally. We have to be a participant. We have to agree to being in the middle of this upset before we ever have anything that we think we need to forgive. There's another little quotation here. From the Mahabharata, this is from the Indian epic poem, the Mahabharata, and part of the Mahabharata is the Bhagavad Gita, which is the great spiritual, the equivalent of the Bible, the great spiritual text in for Hindus in India. But out of this Mahabharata, it says, "Forgiveness subdues all in the world. What is there that forgiveness cannot achieve? What can a wicked person do to him who carries the saber of forgiveness in his hand? Fire falling on the grassless ground is extinguished of itself." Fire falling on the grassless ground is extinguished of itself. In other words, if we don't accept it, if we're not open to the problem, then we don't even have anything to forgive. There is no problem. We don't accept it. "An unforgiving individual defiles himself with many enormities. Righteousness is the one highest good, and forgiveness is the one supreme peace, and knowledge is the supreme contentment, and benevolence is the one sole happiness." So forgiveness, you see, we have to have complicity. Our story has to say, "I am a victim," before the conversation about forgiveness even comes up. And so if we feel like a victim, if we feel like we've been hurt, if we feel like there's been a transgression against our character, if we feel like there's something out there or somebody out there that's done something to us and it's not right, then it behooves us to sit down and get our story straight. See, go through this process of forgiveness, to be active. And when I say go through this process of forgiveness, we may not be able to sit down and just do it at one time. It may not be enough to just say, okay, I understand, like Jesus hanging on the cross, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." But then tomorrow we may run across this idea, a memory of this thing that happened, this person did, this circumstance, this event. And then we still feel that inner response, or still some emotion tied up with this. So we need to sit down and do it again. See, we need to continue with this process of forgiveness until we get clear, until we clear ourselves of any emotional response. Now, another issue about forgiveness, not only is it that most of the time the person that we think needs to ask us for forgiveness doesn't see it that way, so that's not part of reality. Another part of forgiveness that is an illusion is that if we forgive people, we're condoning what they've done. That to forgive them says, well, it's okay. I forgive you, and so whatever you did was okay. Well, a lot of what people do is not okay. We can still forgive them, see? People can be mean sometimes. People can be stupid sometimes. People can act out and be out of character. People can do very self-serving things. And it doesn't mean we have to condone what they do, but it also doesn't mean that we have to carry around the hurt and the upset. And so we can forgive the person and not the action. We can perceive each and every being as an expression of the divine. Some expressions of the divine are a little bit more confused than others. Some people have more occlusion. Some people's awareness and perception is more clouded, you see, more obstructed. And so And so we go, gosh, you know, I really have compassion for a person who has to get themselves into a state where they could do these terrible things. What must it be like to live in a consciousness like that, you see? And so we have compassion and an open heart rather than carrying around this hurt and this upset. It's important, because if we carry this upset, if we carry this anger and this resentment with us, then we are simply holding on to that poison. We are the ones that suffer as a result, and we don't have to. It's needless. So we have to get past this attachment, you know, the habit of hanging on to these old wounds, and it is a wound. I mean, if you got a slash in the arm, or Rosemary was telling about a friend of ours who had got a bite, something bitter in the leg, and she was bleeding, and you know, nasty infection. And so, if something like that happens, if you're wounded, and you have a big nasty infection, what do you do? Do you sit there and look at it every day and go, oh, I'm wounded, this is terrible, and it continues to fester and continues to get worse? Or do you go to the doctor and get some antibiotics and put a Band-Aid on it and deal with it, right? If you're physically hurt, you go and do whatever you can to get rid of that physical pain, to resolve it, so it doesn't just keep eating away at you. So the little bacteria colony doesn't get to overthrow the host, right? Well, the same thing happens with this process of forgiveness. See, when we have this festering wound inside, this emotional problem, where we've been hurt, we feel like we've been hurt, well, we have to sit down and look at the reality of this situation and start to work on the healing process. And the healing process starts off by opening our heart, by becoming forgiving, by recognizing that this is not personal. People are doing whatever they do. And we are doing whatever we do, and it's up to us to sort of take the higher ground. It's up to us to be the grassless ground, so that all those sparks of fire do not set us ablaze, so that we are separate. We're distant from this personalized affront that appears to be. And again, this is completely controlled by how we tell ourselves a story, whatever kind of story we tell ourselves about what's going on. So in this world, there's a lot of crazy people. Yogananda said that everybody in this world is a little bit crazy, but we tend to hang around with people that are crazy the same way we are, so we don't notice it, see? It's real easy to go, oh, those people over there, look at that, they are really crazy. But, you know, we're okay here in our club. Everybody's a little bit crazy. Everybody misses the point. The word sin comes from an old Greek word that means to miss the mark. You know, like in archery, you miss the mark, well, that's a sin. And so missing the mark, missing the point, is something that everybody does. And so when people miss the mark, when they miss the point, when something happens and we perceive that as inappropriate behavior, we don't have to let our feelings be hurt. We don't have to live in upset. We don't have to live with the poison. So it's worth it to take a minute for ourselves, to take a minute and just ask ourselves, what are we carrying around with us? You know, is there any old finished business? Are we carrying around resentment and anger and about circumstances and events? I know people who are angry at their parents, and their parents have passed away and not been on the planet for 20 years. And they still continue this, you know, this righteous indignation against the terrible way they were treated. Well, who suffers there? You know? This is self-created, and it's important to know this and get past it. And there are lots of ways to do this. I mean, we can engage in many different ways. Of course, the easiest way, the simplest way, is to just sit down and recognize what's really going on and get over it. Let go. Get on with life. Ask yourself, just how much of my life, of my vital force, of my energy and my time and my life do I want to assign to this particular problem, to this particular situation, this condition? How much of my life do I want to allow to be controlled by this circumstance or this event? Isn't it time to just let it go? Just give it up. See? And of course, there's another one of these illusions, one of these fantasies that goes along with forgiving, and that is that the word forget has to go with it. Forgive and forget. You don't have to forget. You can remember what happened, but you can also forgive, you see. If we just forget, then we may be doomed to go back through the same circumstance or the same little drama all over again because we forgot. Oh yeah, I did this and then that happened and then it hurt and now I'm doing it again. So we remember what the circumstances and events of our life have been. We remember how people are. We don't expect them to be different than they are, but we can still live with an open heart and be forgiving. This is available to us, and it's just up to us. It's an inside job. Jesus said that we should pray, and as part of one of our prayers, the Our Father, he says, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Acknowledge that this process, we are forgiving, and in the process of being forgiving, we open ourselves to also being forgiven. And of course, what is it that we need to be forgiven of? Well, nothing really. I mean, there isn't anybody that's judging us. There isn't anything outside who's got an opinion about this. But if we feel like we need to be forgiven, if we feel like, well, I missed the point here, I haven't done the right stuff, if we have some feelings inside of inadequacy or that we've done the wrong thing, then the place that we begin with feeling forgiven is to be forgiving. See, when we get in this attitude, this mindset of being forgiveness, then that opens us to the direct experience of also the feeling of being forgiven. Remember, God is not judging us. We don't have anything we need to be forgiven of because God doesn't have any expectations. We only get ourselves wired up into this crazy state of things not working right when we have unreasonable expectations. We expect people to be a certain way and then they aren't that way. Then we get our feelings hurt. Then we get resentful and angry. Well, what if we don't expect people to be anyway? I mean, if we don't expect them to be anyway, except however they are, then however they are is fine in that moment, isn't it? And our expectation is just the story we tell ourselves about what this person's supposed to be doing. So it's possible for us to get off of the story, to get ourselves in harmony, to line ourselves back up with the truth, with what's real. And that is that everything, every single individual, everything that's going on is already perfect. There is no problem. And that within this drama, within this adventure of life, things happen. And some of the things that happen are not particularly pleasant. Some of them are uncomfortable. Sometimes we end up suffering as a result. But we don't have to continue suffering. We can handle whatever comes up, deal with it, and then have this open, loving heart. Be forgiving. When asked how many times we should we forgive seven times? Jesus said, "I tell you not to forgive seven times, but 70 times seven." I mean, it's important enough to get clear. See, clear yourself of these obstacles. Alexander Pope said, "To err is human, to forgive divine." Because this puts us in harmony with the divine. This puts us in harmony with reality, with our true nature, which is an expression of the divine. So, and when we start to do this, when we make this a real proactive aspect of our day-to-day activities, our day-to-day awareness, our day-to-day consciousness, when we become forgiving, anything that happens, anything that we perceive, we have this open heart, we have compassion, see. Then what happens? We start to feel better. We become healthier. We have an attitude. We adopt a perspective that is much more in harmony with reality instead of false expectations. So we can live consciously, be happier, be healthier, and allow our awakening process to be accelerated just simply as a result of actualizing this process of forgiving. Okay? It's not about us. It's about recognizing that stuff happens and we don't have to suffer as a result of this stuff that's happening. So let go. Give up. I mean, all we're letting go of is suffering. All we're giving up is misery and a long-term possible chronic illness. So we don't have to wait till we're in the hospital to start this. We don't have to wait till it's gone way too far and it's going to be a difficult road back. Start today. See, be proactive. This is something we can just get rid of. And as soon as we get past it, then life becomes better and we can start focusing on what we're going to do in the future instead of living in the past. Because all the resentment and all the anger and all the upsets and everything that we have to forgive is all something that's already gone by. It's water over the dam. So let it go. Get on with the future.